Well, thank you all for coming today. And my name is Kenneth Westby, and this is the sixth annual One God Seminar program. First time up here in the Northeast. I'm from Seattle, Washington. Folks back there rather arrogantly say God's country. I'm sure you folks feel similarly here, at least in the summertime, right? Sure is beautiful out here now with all the greenery and quite spectacular. Well, we're happy to be back here. And I'm a student of Scripture, a disciple, as all, are all of you, right? We're here learning, trying to learn more about our great God and His plan and His nature so we can become like Him. And I'm especially grateful for the invitation to have the conference right here. It's certainly a beautiful venue. Carpeted floor, nice padded, easy to sleep in seats, and a table out in front of you, you know, where you can either have your Bible or your breakfast, as I see some of you have. Couldn't be nicer. And I want to thank Sean and Ruth for their hospitality, and for Pastor Vince and Mrs. Finnegan for opening up the facilities here for us. That is very, very nice. Very generous. Very generous. Well, a few more attendees. Just grab a seat wherever. And we couldn't have received a warmer or more gracious welcome than we have here from the Living Hope Community Church. And I share that Living Hope in the coming kingdom of God and the eternity with our Heavenly Father and our Savior Jesus Christ. My wife wanted me to pass on greetings to all of you. My wife Joanne wanted to be here, but just couldn't. She's on a new job. They wouldn't give her any leave time for the first 6 months. So she was kind of bummed out about not being able to come back here. But those 6 months will be over fairly soon. A week ago, we just celebrated our 43rd wedding anniversary, and it's hard to believe that many years have gone by, you know. But and as you look back, they're all good years, right? Not at the time, some of those years didn't seem very good, you know. And we would say to each other at the end of the year, boy, I hope next year is better than this one, you know. You have trials, financial, other kind of trials, and ups and downs, you know, the circuitous, variable life that we all lead. But then as you look back, you say, well, hey, we're still together, still love each other, still have our faith and our children and our grandchildren. So you kind of look back now with a view and say, good years, you know, good years. So it helps sometimes look back. You look back through a different lens, don't you? And it's good that we probably do. Well, I want to welcome our virtual church audience. They're listening right here now on the special conferencing network. And we've got a number of folks tuning in from around North America and who will be tuning in off and on, you know, as they can catch a seminar or two. And we have some faithful ones who are going to be tuning in the whole time. So they have speaker phones, I hope. Otherwise, their ears are going to get kind of tired. I pastor a virtual church, which is a program we do each week, a live service. And we have several hundred people tuning in each week. Shut-ins, elderly people that are far away, don't have a church home, and it provides a church home for them. And that's done through a conference network. They dial in, and then they could listen. And beside that, we also have an audience on the World Wide Web right now. The line feed from this is going into the web via Pal Talk. I don't know if you've heard of that, but it's a very, very popular, well-attended conference, kind of a chat room site on the web. And we've got a room there in the religious section labeled the One God Seminar Albany. And so there are a number of people tuning in there, even outside of the United States. So our audience may be much larger than these fine, handsome-looking folks we see here. And we thank God for that. And imagine tomorrow we'll even have more attendees who are able to come on the weekend, but couldn't make it here today. And we do have a schedule this evening for a two-hour seminar session. So I'm sure some folks who couldn't get off work or come today will be able to join us this evening. I'm looking forward to that. And also the wider audience for these One God seminars continues to exist into the future. Every year we send out hundreds of tapes of these meetings, which are being taped by our sound man extraordinaire back there, right? You are taping these things? Good deal. And we'll be sending copies out of that with the copies of the printed presentations that most of the presenters have prepared for us. And we'll be sending those albums out, you know, for years, and they get circulated around. So hopefully the word is being given, and we're making our little contribution, aren't we, to the glorious body of Christ. And it's some information God's given us, not because of our smarts, but in his mercy has revealed his nature more clearly to us. And we have an obligation, don't we? And we should have the energy to want to share that with as many people as we possibly can. I'd like to read from the first page here of our little agenda booklet, if you'll open that up. And just on the reverse of the cover, the Shema, the great prayer that's on the lips of every Jew and has been, at least the observant Jews, a couple of times a day for a couple of thousand years. And it's a beautiful confession. And the confession we will read here. Hear, O Israel. Of course, here that's the word Shema. The Lord is your God. The Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. And it's with that in mind that we dedicate our lives to this time together. Is that something we could all say amen to here? Well, I would hope so. Well, let's begin our time together by asking God's presence and blessing upon us, if you'll join me as we pray. Our dear God in heaven, majesty, the mighty one, Yahweh, our Savior, and Jesus Christ, our Lord, we thank you so much that you've called us to understand you, that you number us among your little flock of precious ones. And we are now especially appreciative of the fact you've drawn us together to learn more of you. And we want to learn more of you. We don't know anywhere near what we need to know about you and your nature. So help us. We're seeking you. We want your face to shine upon us, and we pray that it will. We ask your blessing on everyone listening, wherever they might be around the country, and all those fine folk here present, that your spirit will enliven us, will vivify our minds, and draw us closer to you as we study your word. Bless our time together now when we commit ourselves to you, dear Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple of opening remarks before we have our main and first speaker here today, Sean Finnegan. The next page after the title page, page 4, I'd like to draw your attention to that. Tried to summarize in a couple of paragraphs why we're doing what we're doing and the significance and the importance. I've had some people tell me, well, you know, you're majoring in these little trivial doctrinal things and you're kind of shaving fine points. And why are you paying so much attention to that? Well, I don't see it that way, and maybe you don't either. I mean, we're not playing church. We're not in the religion business. We're in the business of becoming like God in mind and in life and actions. Isn't that it? And to know God, is there any greater body of knowledge than that? That's the zenith. That's the height. That's the peak. That's the Everest of all knowledge, is to know Him who made everything. It is our loving Father, and to learn about Him. Because to know Him, to really know Him, is to love Him. I mean, how can you not if you really know Him? And if you love Him, well, then you want to become like Him. The passion flows from that. And so it begins with knowing God. And this is what the Shema is about. It's what Jesus' prayer was about, that they may know You, Father, as I know You, and become one and love that much, so that Jesus could say, I don't do anything but what the Father wants me to do. And, you know, we want to get into that same frame of mind ourselves. And so there can be no more important than this knowledge about God Himself. So we're not on the periphery of Christianity as God fears. We're right in the center. And I know, of course, most of you share that thing, that approach. And theology is just that. And we want to take on the very image of God. So we put forth time and energy to do this. All of our speakers, by the way, they come here at their own expense. And some are having difficulty getting here, really. I don't see Noel Rood here. Is Noel here? Well, hopefully he'll make it in this morning. Talk to his wife. He was stranded in a storm up in Duluth through a connection. He was coming out of Oregon. And David Seeloff, you had some storm in Chicago, was it, or something? Or you went? It's a delay there. And so I hope he's able to make it in. Didn't show up at the hotel last night. We've had a couple other difficulties. And, you know, the expense, the time, the energy. Why? Why do we do this? Well, I hope, for my part anyway, it's a passion to know more about God, and to, in some way, some way of by effort or thought, by sharing, that we do glorify Him. One of my favorite passages I quote here in Jeremiah, the ninth chapter. It's kind of become a logo scripture, as it were, for me for many, many years. Because at the end of life, there's only one thing upon which we can boast. And this is coming directly from Yahweh Himself in Jeremiah 9:23. This is what the Lord says. This is what the great God says. This is what Yahweh says. He says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. That's basically covers the water, doesn't it? Isn't that what most people brag about? You know, how smart they are, how many degrees, how clever they are, how fast they are with their mental agility, whatever. Or, you know, how strong they are, how much power they have, how much authority they have, or how rich they are. You know, a lot of people realize that's the way to go. And so people think they've achieved something if they've gotten to the pinnacle of power and learning and riches. But have they? God's saying, all right. These are things you humans like to boast about. It's like the truism about riches, for instance, that there are no luggage racks on a hearse, are there? You know, they talk about this rich guy, and somebody said, well, how much did he leave behind? Well, the answer, of course, always is everything, right? So boasting pretty well ends there. But God says, now, if you want to boast about something and really feel that you have achieved something in this life and take some satisfaction in that, this is it. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me. That's understanding who God is, you know, that He is one, that He is the uncreated one. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the Father of Jesus Christ, the man who lived, died, and is now at His side. We want to know that, but also we want to understand that we want to know Him, what His nature is. That's why we want to draw close to Him, come to love Him mimic him, want to become like him. Knows me that I am the Lord, the eternal one who exercises. Now he tells you about his nature. So when you know him, it isn't just nice words. Oh, know the Lord. Well, and people have all their little concepts of how to know God. But here he defines himself, so let's let him define himself. And the first words out of his mouth show the very heart of God, who exercises kindness. I mean, that's the first thing that comes to us from God, isn't it? It's the kindness. Is that the way most people see God? No, not necessarily. In Romans 2:4 there, the Apostle Paul says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, that attracts, that draws. And it's that that lovely heart of God. And kindness, justice, absolute fairness. And we want to know that justice. He is going to make things right. And righteousness on earth. He does things. He does them right. He does things well. He does things good. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. So in that spirit of inquiry, we want to draw near to that God and boast in the right sense that we're learning more of him. And I hope at the end of this series of seminars that you will feel you've learned something more about God through his word. And would that be a valuable thing to take back? Could you put a price on it? It's pretty hard to, I would think. And the format, as I mentioned here in the last paragraph, is a friendly format. And of course, that's pretty easy to have when you're with brethren like this, dwelling together with unity. But openly discussing what are sometimes contentious issues, are they not? Oh yeah, people have been burned at the stake for having contrary opinions to the reigning orthodoxy about who God is and the definition of God, haven't they? Of course they have. And so we want to have that kind of attitude and approach here, and we have every year, and it's been an absolute delight. And it is the Christian spirit of collegiality, where we can discuss subjects, even though we, you know, from in this group here and more so tomorrow, we'll have people representing a number of different doctrinal points of view, and this point, that point, other things. So it's not like we have one denominational point. The thing we're agreed on is that we want to study about our great God and learn about him and his nature. So that's the harmony that we seek to advance and learn here. And as Paul said, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ. And we're talking last night over this marvelous Italian dinner that Vince treated us to. I'm talking with Pastor Gill, and he was talking about presenting some of these contentious issues to people about the nature of God, the oneness of God, and how important it is to have that meek and a gentle and a humble and an entreating spirit rather than poking people in the eye and showing them the door to hell, you know, if they don't believe like you do. And that's the spirit we want to share here, because we don't know everything, do we? We're all learners together. So it's our small contribution, joining many other voices in declaring the greatness of our God, the one and only true God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ. And to those principles, we dedicate our seminar here. Well, our first speaker this morning is somebody that, as the old trite expression goes, doesn't need any introduction, and being right here in his local church, it's certainly true. And I've enjoyed knowing Sean and his wife Ruth here for several years, and appreciate his energy and his passion, certainly the inquisitive mind he has, and the nice spirit about him. And he's, I think, even going to be a nicer fellow now that he's a father. And he's got, you know, a child and another one on the way. Where's Ruth? She here? She's out there in the kitchen. Do you make her stay in the kitchen, or Do you ever let her out, or?